Welcome to the Raised with Jesus podcast, 10 minutes of a day of the life of Jesus meets yours. You've got your daily Bible reading for March 7th, 2019, looking at the second portion of Acts chapter 9. Saul stayed with the disciples in Damascus for several days. Immediately, he began to proclaim Jesus in the synagogues, saying, "He is the Son of God." All who heard him were amazed and said, "Isn't this the one who raised havoc in Jerusalem among those who call on his name? Didn't he come here for this very purpose, to bring them as prisoners to the chief priests?" But Saul continued to get stronger and kept confounding the Jews who lived in Damascus by proving that Jesus is the Christ. After many days had passed, the Jews conspired to kill him, but Saul was informed of their plot. They were watching the gates both day and night in order to kill him. But his disciples took him at night and let him down through an opening in the wall by lowering him in a basket. When Saul came to Jerusalem, he tried to join the disciples, but they were all afraid of him because they did not believe that he was a disciple. But Barnabas took him and brought him to the apostles. He described to them how Saul had seen the Lord on the road and that the Lord had spoken to him, and how in Damascus he had preached fearlessly in the name of Jesus. Saul stayed with them, coming and going freely in Jerusalem, and speaking boldly in the name of the Lord. He kept on talking and debating with the Greek-speaking Jews, but they were looking for a way to kill him. When the brothers learned about this, they brought him down to Caesarea and sent him off to Tarsus. Then the church grew throughout Judea, Galilee, and Samaria, and they enjoyed peace as it was strengthened. It grew in numbers as it lived in the fear of the Lord and in the comfort of the Holy Spirit. As Peter went around from place to place, he also went down to the saints who lived in Lydda. There he found a paralyzed man named Aeneas, who had been lying on a mat for 8 years. Peter said to him, "Aeneas, Jesus Christ heals you. Get up and take care of your mat." Immediately he got up. All those who lived at Lydda and Sharon saw him, and they turned to the Lord. In Joppa there was a disciple named Tabitha, which in Greek is Dorcas. She was always doing good deeds and acts of charity. At that time she became sick and died. After they had washed her, they laid her in an upstairs room. Since Lydda is near Joppa, when the disciples heard that Peter was there, they sent two men to him, who urged him, "Come to us without delay." Peter got up and went with them. When he arrived, they led him to the room upstairs. All the widows stood beside him, weeping, and showing him the robes and clothing that Dorcas made while she was still with them. After Peter sent them all out sad, he got down on his knees and prayed. Then he turned toward the body and said, "Tabitha, get up." She opened her eyes, and when she saw Peter, she sat up. He gave her his hand and helped her stand up. After he called the saints and the widows, he presented her to them alive. This became known all over Joppa, and many believed the Lord. Peter stayed in Joppa for many days with a man named Simon the Tanner. This is the word of our God. We see the connection between faith and the facts that we know, the facts that we believe and teach and confess, and action. Paul has become a believer, and he still going by the name Saul. We'll talk about that in just a moment. But Paul here has become a believer, and that belief leads him to action. The very people that he has gone there to persecute, he now goes and preaches to. The very ones that he was going to be meeting up with and demonstrating his letters of authority from the church leaders at Jerusalem, and then bringing some people back with him as prisoners to Jerusalem. Now he meets them in open public debate and vigorously proves from the scripture that Jesus is the Christ. We see that God brought him to faith, and it's a marvelous thing when that happens. And for a man who had such thorough knowledge of the Old Testament scriptures, to have seen the risen Lord, and then to be able to use that knowledge now in service of the true God, and in service of his preaching his word, it's a tremendous opportunity. But then you also hear the echo of what God said to Ananias earlier in the chapter. When God says, go, this is man is my chosen instrument to bring my word to the Gentiles. I will show him how much he must suffer for my name. That suffering happens pretty quickly. Paul is lowered down through a basket, and he gets to Jerusalem, and then there's another plot on his life. I will show him how much he must suffer for my name. The exact idea that Jesus talked about time and again, especially in the Gospel of Mark. If anyone would come after me, he must take up his cross daily and follow me. In that our suffering isn't what makes us a Christian. Our suffering doesn't add to our faith, but suffering is part and parcel of being a follower of Jesus. And that being a follower of Jesus, we understand that the suffering is worthwhile, obviously, and we understand that God continues to bless us even in suffering, and especially through that suffering. And so we rejoice even in suffering, in hardship, in trial, and persecution, and in this case, threats on his life as Paul is lowered down and as Paul escapes another plot against him. Now we call him Paul, or we call him Saul. The Roman people especially had three names, kind of like we have a first, middle, and last name in most cases, except that they would use all three names on a regular basis, all three names together as their official name, like Peter Frederick Hagen, or Saul, Paul, whatever his last name happened to have been. It's most likely that Saul is his first name, and being of the tribe of Benjamin, he is named after that most famous member of the tribe of Benjamin, King Saul. And then his second name, they've got like praenomen and cognomen, I think are the names. I'd have to look it up, I'm sorry. But his second part of his name would be Paul, and perhaps they're drawing on some of the more Roman background, because we also know from later in the book of Acts that Paul is born a Roman citizen, which probably means that when he calls himself a Hebrew of Hebrews, his parents are both Jewish, and he's just got that Jewish blood completely, at least racially. But at the same time, that somewhere back in his ancestry, one of his ancestors became a Roman citizen, either as a gift from the emperor or that ancestor had purchased it for a price. So at any rate, Paul is born a Roman citizen. So when we say that Paul changed his name, he didn't really change his name. He just kept the same name. Just that now, especially as he turns toward ministering primarily to the Gentiles, he chooses to be known more by his Gentile-sounding name rather than his Jewish-sounding name. And it does signify a little bit of a change from the life that he used to lead and the person that he used to be. But he doesn't pick a new name for himself. Anyway, so Paul goes on preaching, and he demonstrates Christian love and fellowship by meeting with the apostles. And Barnabas, who we heard about earlier back in chapter 4, I think Barnabas brings Paul to the disciples and introduces them. The first example that we see of sponsors. In this particular case, Barnabas kind of serves as a sponsor to let everybody know that Paul is okay, that he's not here to infiltrate their ranks and then blow up the church, you know, metaphorically at least. And that idea of sponsorship is, you know, even traced down to the present day in our idea of baptismal sponsors, baptismal witnesses. But we'll talk about that a little bit later when we get to another portion about baptism. And then finally we have Tabitha or Dorcas and the raising of Aeneas. And what we see from here is the exact same idea, just in a little bit more depth, where Paul, as a Christian, goes around preaching. Aeneas is healed by Peter, and Tabitha, as a Christian, does what she can to demonstrate love toward especially her fellow believers. And that's important, because as Christians, as people who have been redeemed by the Lord, we know that when Jesus says, this is how people will know you are my disciples, if you love one another, that our good works, our good deeds and acts of love don't add anything to our spiritual standing with God. And at the same time, the things that we do could provide an opening for the preaching of the word. But even if it doesn't, our charity toward others and our good deeds toward others isn't based on their reaction to God's word. Our charity is based on our reaction to God's love for us and our management of what he has entrusted to us. So some would say, well, Pastor Hagin, we shouldn't really give them a handout because you don't know what they're going to do with it. They're probably just going to squander it, you know. And we say, well, we'll try to be wise. I'll give you some tangible goods like socks or some food. But even if that is poorly received, and even if that person never walks through our doors again, our obligation is to demonstrate love because we know how much our Lord has loved us. And then the Lord says, come follow me. Come follow me, take up your cross daily, and follow me, and love one another. And we know that the Lord who promises that is worth whatever suffering we may have to endure for it. You can find us Sunday mornings at 9 a.m., 2250 South Hollinsylvania Road at Maumee. You could also check out our YouTube page for last night's Ash Wednesday service. Just search YouTube for Resurrection Maumee. And of course, follow us on Instagram, Raised with Jesus. God bless your day.